We head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline for a very special guest.
We do. Danny White, Tennessee Athletic Director. Danny, how are you?
Doing great. How you guys doing?
We're doing fantastic. First off, obviously there was a great scene at Tennessee, a sellout. The Vol Walk was tremendous. The light show, a heck of a football game, of course, marred by what happened at the end of it. But what was your response to what you saw for the first 59 minutes of that football game?
I thought it was electric. The atmosphere in there was obviously just pretty special. Really proud of all of our staff that has been working really hard on our game day presentation, and mostly proud of our football student athletes and coaching staff. They put together a good game plan. It was a competitive team competitive game between two really good teams, and an awesome showing for Tennessee football. And the only thing better would have been obviously getting a win.
Were you okay with the SEC imposing a $250,000 fine?
Yeah, you know, that was the kind of the precedented mark. We had, I'm told it was one of the longer, if not the longest, delays to an SEC game for a fan conduct reason. We can't have that. What I keep reminding myself, and I hope others do around town, is it was a special, awesome night, and we had 102,455. 102,000 of those people represented our university so well. Unfortunately, just a couple hundred folks made a bad decision that put us in a bad light there at the very end. And we're gonna ask those folks to reconsider doing that in the future, because it would have been a perfect night without some of those bad decisions at the end.
The SEC recommended identifying the people that threw objects on the field and then suspending them basically from attending games for 1 year. Do you think 1 year is enough?
We'll work through that. I think it needs to be at least that. There's some folks that got hurt. Thank God nobody got hurt too seriously, but there were some injuries. It's really dangerous dealing with a stadium that size and as high as some people were throwing from. It just need to be more accountable for their actions. So, yeah, we are going through the video to see where we can identify people and hold them accountable.
And my understanding is you stopped selling beer at the end of the third quarter. Are any changes in your beer selling policy based on this?
No, we don't think so at all. Actually, our metrics in terms of fan behavior as it relates to alcohol are significantly better now that we have started selling beer, and that goes back to 2019 when we had a year before COVID. And that's kind of nationally how it's been. We're seeing less binge drinking now that folks can know that they can have access to buying a beer in venue. We haven't changed a whole lot this year in terms of beer sales, other than we were way understaffed because of some of our staffing issues with the pandemic. So we have tried to beef up just to get. We're still not at 2019 staffing levels in terms of our beer stands, but we did get that feedback, and I put out a message going into the game that we're going to be better prepared, because we had some really bad fan experiences where they're waiting a half hour plus to get access to hot dog or Coke or a beer. But yeah, we're pretty much doing the same things, but we're looking at where can we be smart to try to mitigate this from happening again. We absolutely cannot allow this to happen again in our stadium.
Did you ever deal with anything like this at either Buffalo or Central Florida?
Not to this extent. You know, I mean, occasionally there's a frustrated fan and something happens, but it just kept coming. And I'll be honest with you guys, I didn't know what to do for a minute there. I eventually walked out on the field. But how do you tell 100,000 people to stop doing something? And you don't know where it's coming from. But I think our security did a really good job. And obviously we got it under control. Grateful to Keith Carter as a friend of mine, the AD at Ole Miss, and their leadership and our folks. We all kind of came together and just worked through it, and thankfully we were able to finish the game.
In terms of just the administrative side of moving forward in, I guess, lack of a better word, an investigation, exactly who are you working with and how do you approach this? How many different departments and or agencies are involved in trying to get to the bottom of this and identify those that were causing problems?
Yeah, there's already been several meetings on campus with not just athletics, but student affairs and some of the a lot of the operational folks that work. We have a control room. I don't know if you guys have seen it in the stadium. It's pretty extensive. The amount of cameras in that stadium, and so we're going to use that technology to the best of our ability to again hold the bad actors accountable, so that the next time we have 102.455 in there, the show doesn't get stopped and we all have fun together.
There have been some fan reports that some of the throwing came from the Ole Miss section in terms of in reaction to either what they thought was what was the end of a drive that they didn't find appealing, and then what they thought was going to be an overturn call on that fourth down where it was in question whether or not Tennessee picked it up. Have you heard from any of Buddy in security that perhaps Ole Miss fans were a part of this?
I haven't heard that from anyone in an official capacity. I've probably seen some of the same things you've seen, just kind of rumors out there. But we are going through and looking at all the video footage we have, and if that occurred, then we'll find out about it.
Our guest, Danny White, Tennessee Athletic Director. Danny, there were some questionable calls during the course of the game. I don't think anybody would doubt that. What was your opinion on the officiating?
You know, I don't know that anybody's ever going to be fully happy with how a game is officiated. We have rules. I'm new to the league, so I can't even, as I sit here talking to you guys, I don't even know exactly what the rule is, but I know that I have limitations on what I can talk about in officiating. I know that sometimes, and in past seasons doing what I do, I'll think I know something that I'm right, and I'm educated about something different, and kind of come to a reasonable conclusion. But by and large, just in terms of, I think a well officiated game is one that the players decide the outcome at the end of the game, and sometimes I think there's frustrations in this game, and I hope we don't have other games like that. I know there's smart people in the conference office that want to have great officiating. It's not like they want anything less than that. And that I can tell you that they work really hard at it.
I also wanted to ask you this, and you've been around sports all your life. And one of the things that we've had so much discussion about are players faking injuries on the field. Do you have any thoughts about what you would like to see to clean that up?
Yeah, I think we need to address it in our rules in the off season. I don't know what the fix is, but we got to come up with one. I just think it's becoming too prevalent. Obviously, you guys saw the length of that game Saturday night was crazy. We got to have less of it, and it's you can't look to officials on that. You can't look to the trainers, and if somebody says they're hurt, we got to take that seriously and assume that they're hurt. Some kind of rule that is empathetic to those that are hurt, but also maybe bring some more accountability to the game.
Danny, I did want to ask you this as well. So obviously Oklahoma and Texas are coming into the SEC. Don't know exactly what year, but does that have an impact on you scheduling games way out? Are you kind of waiting to see when those teams will join the league before you lay out your future schedules?
I'm looking, not necessarily when they'll join. We're all assuming that the 2025 year, but just what is the SEC scheduling model going to be? We need to decide as a conference what that looks like before we make any more decisions on our future schedule.
Do you have a thought on whether you would like two divisions or a 14 pod?
We're having all sorts of conversations, and there's really smart people showing all different options. I'm not sure if it's something I can't comment on, but just trying to be fair to my colleagues across the conference, I'd rather not speak to that right now.
Okay. I did want to ask you about this as well, and this certainly garnered a lot of news recently. In lieu of the situation with John Gruden and those emails, do you have conferences with your staff and with your coaches and so forth about being very careful about what you do with emails?
Yeah, I think, as public employees, we always need to be smart, but also we just shouldn't have things like that in our email. I think we got to, I don't know if you're thinking something like that, you probably shouldn't be thinking it, but I don't know. I probably shouldn't speak to another personnel issue, but I would be very disappointed if we had anything that worrisome in any of our staff's email. But yeah, you always need to be smart as a public official.
You've got the sport that you played that's getting ready to get fired up. What was it like to see the Volunteers ranked number 18 by the Associated Press and the Lady Vols come in at number 15, with both being projected as top five SEC squads?
That's exciting. It's exciting. We're doing so well across the board, and I can't wait to see both of our basketball teams play. I had a chance to get over and watch practice a little bit. They're working hard. We got some really good young players, as you guys know, some really talented young players on both teams, and some good leadership. So it's going to be fun to watch. And I can't wait to see a packed Thompson Bowling Arena. I haven't seen it. I got here, obviously, during the pandemic last spring, and I'm so excited to see that building and have the kind of energy that we had in Neyland on Saturday night.
It was really something to watch Coach Barnes and this class that he just continued to add to, with one impressive addition after another. And you have a couple of young men that decided to reclassify. Just from your vantage point, what do you think in terms of somebody, a young man or woman, putting in the work that it takes to graduate early so they can make that next step, what can be as difficult a transition as they'll ever make from high school to college?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a smart move. I think it shows that we got some smart young people that want to learn how to develop as a basketball player from Rick Barnes, who's one of the best in the world at developing players. But I think he was a big part of that. I know he was. Excited to have all of our new young talent on both teams.
Danny, what did you think, going back to football, what did you think of checkerboarding Neyland?
It was cool. I'm not going to lie, I was a little nervous. It's a little early in my tenure to do it. What if it doesn't work? And our folks kind of pushed me over the edge, and I'm glad they did, because our people came out strong, and it looked absolutely phenomenal. I thought it was a great spectacle of the pageantry of college football, and hopefully we'll have it a lot more as we look into the future.
And when you see the sellout that you talked about, what does that say about the fan response to Coach Heupel and his staff and these players?
Yeah, what I'm learning about our fan base is we're a very football savvy fan base, and sometimes even after a loss, I'm noticing the positivity because they're seeing this team growing and improving. And I know that you know, we're not into consolation prizes around here. We want to win every game we play. But I think as our fans are looking to the future, they're getting more excited again because they're seeing that growth. I'm seeing that growth. Obviously, Josh is seeing it too. This team's getting better week to week, and hopefully we can get some more sellouts later this season.
That has to be a good feeling. And one thing that I think stands out is that you've done so much. You've rubber stamped and given approval to and even instigated what have been some big time fan moments for Tennessee. You think about the block party for Tennessee baseball when they were hosting the Super Regional. The fact that you said, yes, let's checkerboard it as soon as it landed at your feet. And so I can appreciate doing as much as you can, because while there are some big picture things that are going to take work and time, there have been some just really, really neat moments on UT's campus just over the last few months. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, no question. I consider myself fortunate, blessed to have been a part of some really cool moments already. But that's why I came here. This is Tennessee. We can do some big time stuff here. And I can't wait to break ground on the expansion in Neyland Stadium as soon as the season's over, and the expansion of the Anderson Center for football operations. We got some big capital projects in the works, obviously, at Lindsey Nelson Stadium as well, and some other projects too. So it's fun to do those fan moments and the marketing things, and it's fun to build stuff too.
Danny, one other question in regard to the incident and then the letter that the SEC sent out. I just wonder, they've indicated they would like a report before Tennessee's next home game. Would you anticipate the investigation and so forth being completed by then?
I don't know logistically. I mean, we will have something to them prior to the home game as they requested. Will we have our investigation complete by then? I wouldn't want to put words in the mouth of those that are working much more closely to it. I'm not sure.
Okay. All right. Hey, Danny, thank you so much for joining us. Really do appreciate it. Thanks for your time, and we'll look forward to visiting with you again in the future.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you,
Danny. Danny White, Tennessee Athletic Director.
Joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.